It is Wednesday, October 24th, 2018, at 1515 in room 115 at ICANN 63. This is the GNSO Council Open Meeting Part 2 Admin Meeting.
Ladies and gentlemen, it falls upon me to welcome us back to the GNSO Council, which is a wonderful furphy of the rules. Let's take 2 minutes, and new councillors, would you please join us at the council table?
Instagram.
Are you complaining about the internet? I'm sorry, I don't run that anymore. That's not my job anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, members of the 2018-2019 GNSO Council, could you please take your seats?
Madam Chair, I can still call you Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yay. Awesome.
It worked. You wished it, Michaela, and it came. So thank you to everyone. We're starting a bit late. This is part two of the GNSO Council meeting. This is a time to seat the new council, and we will conduct an election for the council chair. Let me explain, please, why I am sitting here. It's not because Michaeli has wished it to be so. It is the case that we're in a unique situation here with a contested election, and the remaining candidate from, or the remaining member of council leadership who would ordinarily run the election per the bylaws, is involved in the election. So the staff have asked me to serve in the role of what the rules call election officer. So I will conduct the, I will open the meeting and will proceed to the first order of business. So with that, if we can see the agenda, thank you very much. Item one is the seating of the 2018-2019 Council. Before we turn to that, Natalie, we'll ask you to open the meeting formally for us, please.
Thank you very much, Heather. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the GNSO Council meeting part two on the 24th of October, 2018. Would you please acknowledge your name when I call it? Thank you ever so much. Pam Little.
Here.
Thank you, Pam. Maxim Alzoba is our incoming registry councillor. Welcome, Maxim.
Here.
Women's School.
Here.
Keith Drazik.
Here.
Darcy Sudwell.
Here.
Michaeli Nalen.
Here.
Carlos Gutierrez.
Here.
Marie Petullo.
Here.
Scott McCormick is our incoming BC councillor. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you, here.
Paul McGrady.
Here.
Philippe Foucault.
Here.
Rafik Damak.
Here.
Elsa Sadi, incoming NCSG councillor. Welcome, Elsa.
Thank you, present.
Arsen Tungali is absent. He has sent his apologies and has his temporary alternates Foul Folly. Foul?
Here.
Thank you. Flip Petillon is our incoming IPC counselor. Welcome, Flip.
Present.
Tony Harris?
Present.
Tatiana Tropina?
Present.
Martin Silvervalent?
Present.
Thank you. Martin is also proxy to Aidan Fedelin, who is absent. Apologies for this meeting. Syed Ismaili Shah is also absent. He's given his proxy to Erica Mann for this session of the call. Erica?
I'm here.
Thank you. Cheryl Langdonor?
Here.
Yul Falsingis?
Here.
Adibi Yoladipo? Okay, I don't see Adibi in the room. And Geneso support staff is also in the room with us. May I remind you all to please remember to state your names before speaking for recording purposes. Thank you ever so much. Heather, over to you.
Thank you very much, Natalie, and a warm welcome to our new councillors joining the council today. So we'll now move to item number 2, which is the election of the chair. Forgive me. Item 1.2 is an update to statement of interest call. You'll note here the updated statements of interest of Maxim, Elsa, Flip, and Scott. A reminder for exiting councillors who now have left me, to update their SOIs as well. Any further updates to statements of interest? Please note that I will update mine as soon as we're done here. Maxim, please.
Maxim, also for the record, should we mark RP and PDP as terminated in our... the RDS-PDP terminated in our SOIs, because some of us were participating.
Thank you, Maxim. So Maxim has asked if those who were involved in the RDS-PDP should let's say, remove that or mark that they were in the PDP that has now been terminated. Yes, I think that would be sensible, Maxim. Good question. Thank you. Any further questions, comments in relation to updates to SOIs? Nope, seeing none. So our agenda today has very few items on it. Can we turn to our agenda, please? So item number 2 is the election of the GNSO Council Chair. Item 3 is a discussion around GNSO Empowered Community Roles and Responsibilities and the development of templates as presaged in Part 1 of the Council agenda that just took place. Item 4, any other business drawing upon discussions this week. Any suggested changes, amendments to the agenda? Seeing none, let's turn then to item number two. Excellent. There are 2 candidates in this election for chair. Keith Drazik from the Contracted Parties House, specifically from the Registry Stakeholder Group, and Rafiq Damak from the Non-Contracted Parties House, specifically from the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group. What will now take place is a distribution of ballots. You will each receive a paper ballot. And as I want to get the color right, Natalie, I believe it's... I'm going to let you say, Natalie.
Okay, so we have blue ballots for the contracted party house and yellow ballots for the non-contracted party house. So please ensure we distribute the right one to you.
Thank you, Natalie. So what you will see on that ballot, as per the requirements of the bylaws and the operating procedures, you will see that there are 3 line entries on the ballot. The line entries will have the names of the 2 candidates, Keith Drazik and Rafiq Damak. And the ballots will also contain none of the above. None of the above is a requirement under the rules for conducting elections for the GNSO chair. If I can ask staff, please, to help us to distribute those ballots, and then we will confirm that everyone has the correct ballots before we move on to the actual vote. Does everyone have a ballot? Okay. Maxim does not have a ballot? No. Okay. Members of the contracted parties house, could you please confirm that you each have blue ballots?
Yes.
Excellent. The record will reflect that the contracted parties have confirmed. Members of the non-contracted parties house, could you please confirm that you have a yellow ballot?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Please proceed to voting. Your vote slip will be picked up by Natalie Peregrine, who shall come and collect it from you. Thanks very much, Natalie. We'll now adjourn for 5 minutes. Natalie and Barry will conduct the election process and will inform me of the results, and I will return back to you to deliver those results. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll call the council meeting back into session with thanks to Barry and Natalie for their work in conducting the ballot process. Here I will communicate the results. The contracted party's house has voted 100% for Keith Drazik and 0% for Rafiq Damak. The non-contracted party's house has voted 30.77% for Keith Drazik and 69.23% for Rafiq Damak. No candidate has the requisite 60% of both houses. What happens now is the voting moves to a second round. The second round proceeds with the candidate with the highest number of votes in round one. That candidate is Keith Drazik. The ballot you will now receive will have Keith Drazik's name written into the ballot line and none of the above. Again, none of the above is a requirement of the rules. Staff will now distribute those ballots. We'll confirm the process exactly the same way. Rafiq, you did very well. You did very well. All right, can everyone confirm, please, that they have a ballot? Yes. Contracted parties, can you confirm, please, that you have a blue ballot? Yes. Excellent, thank you. Non-contracted parties, can you confirm, please, that you have a yellow ballot?
Yes.
Excellent. Please cast your votes. They will be collected by Natalie Peregrine. So we'll take a 5-minute break while Natalie and Barry work on the vote tabulation, and I will come back to you and announce the results.
Madam Chair, I'm frankly disappointed that we don't have hold music.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. Thanks very much to Natalie and Barry again for conducting the election process. I'm pleased to announce the results of the round two of voting. The contracted party's house has voted 100% for Keith Drazik, 0% for none of the above, no abstentions. The non-contracted party's house has voted 84.62% for Keith Drazik, 7.69% for none of the above, and 7.69% abstention. Please join me in welcoming Keith Drazik to the GNSO Council Chair. Keith, the mic is yours.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for the trust and the faith that you have placed in me today. Thank you. It's a real honor to be sitting here, and I look forward to working with every one of you over the course of the next year. So, and Rafiq, thank you for your support, and I look forward to working, as I said, with everybody here over the coming year. So with that, I know we have more things on the agenda. I do want to note, just for everybody, I think there is just enormous shoes to fill with the leadership team that has just stepped down. I think we noted yesterday in our conversations that there were 8 years of service combined on council and 6 years of service as the leadership team. And so one of the most important things that we have now to do is to focus on the appointment of vice chairs from both houses. It's not something that has to be concluded today, but it is something that we need to focus on in the very near future. So with that, I'm going to turn to staff as something that I will do frequently from now on for help and assistance in terms of next steps. And if we could move the agenda, the screen, to the next agenda point, please. Okay. So, next item on the agenda is a council discussion about the GNSO empowered community roles and responsibilities and GNSO operating procedures templates guideline development. So, Marika, am I correct in thinking this is something that you're going to help us cover? I'm sorry. Oh, Julie. Okay. Excellent. So, thank you. So, just one moment. So, this is obviously the empowered community roles and responsibilities for those that are not aware is something that came out of the IANA transition and ICANN accountability processes. So it's a relatively new development. It's something that we as a council in 2018 went through in terms of instruction and awareness, but it is something that's very, very important for us as councilors to all understand the obligations and responsibilities. So with that, Julie, let me hand that over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Keith. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to provide this brief update. And thank you also for mentioning that this is something that has been ongoing. As I hope you all know, we did have revised bylaws as a result of the transition to the empowered community structure and then the concomitant roles of the decisional participants within that structure. And we did have in the council a drafting team that took a look at those bylaws. This was a community drafting team. Steve Del Bianco, I think, led that. And they came up with a number of recommendations for how the operating procedures of the GNSO could be or should be changed, and also changes to voting thresholds that resulted in changes to the bylaws. And as these things go, those changes took their own time. Bylaws changes take time. Bylaws changes meant that while some changes could be made to the GNSO operating procedures, some of those changes had to wait until the board had approved bylaws. And actually, it was not until this January that the council approved the revised voting thresholds for the bylaws. That went to the board in May. The board approved the bylaws, but under the new processes, those bylaws amendments had to go back to the empowered community for an opportunity for a rejection procedure. None was lodged, and so in June, the revised bylaws were published, and at the same time, those bylaws were linked and published into the GNSO operating procedures. Also in May, during this time, the staff presented to the council a table of recommended templates and guidelines. So these would not necessarily be changes to the GNSO operating procedures, although some might be incorporated subject to council approval, but primarily mostly templates so that when the GNSO council needed to exercise, or the GNSO needed to exercise its role as a decisional participant, it would be able to simply turn to a template and say, oh, here's how we do this motion, and this is the voting threshold for it, and so on. And also, in some cases where an action might be a little more complicated, there would be some guidelines for how to proceed as well as a template. And so staff presented the table to the council, but the council really has not had time to take that up and do a review of it. Rather than waiting necessarily for the council to act, the staff thought it might be helpful if it did some proactive work on templates. They can always be changed, but an abundance of caution, if something did arise and the council needed to act as its in its role as decisional participant, then we would have a template ready. So we do have a number of templates. We're close to finishing up on some guidelines, but with respect to the guidelines being a bit more complicated, we felt that it would be extremely helpful if there were some counselors, perhaps a small drafting team again, or just a small group of counselors or community members who could collaborate with staff and review the guidelines in particular. The templates are a little more straightforward, but the guidelines in particular, so that these could be finalized without much more ado and be ready for deployment as necessary. So that's where we stand right now. We're just looking for guidance from the new council as to how they would like us to proceed, and we stand ready to do whatever you think you'd like us to do to help out.
Okay. Thank you very much, Julie. Great update, and obviously, as you noted, important work that council has not yet had time to focus on. So thanks very much to staff for taking the initiative and giving us something to review and react to. Rafiq, I see your card up. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. This is Rafiq Damak speaking. Thanks, Julie, for the update. I know that the staff worked on this for a while, and it's good to have this update. But I have some question that may help us for the next steps and maybe how we can set up whatever structure to work on this. So creating all these templates and guidelines, first question, do we need for that, or does it mean that we need to make any update to the GNSO operating procedure? And the second, I think it's linked to the first question, because if we need to make any changes in the operating procedure, before that we went through, we used the standing committee for implementation, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and the thinking was to delegate the work to the GNSO review working group, but that was not the case. And I know that when we had the bylaw change and so on, it was a drafting team. So I think we need maybe more clarification here into what, not just about this, those templates and guidelines, but for any change that may happen. So, I mean, if Julie has any idea, it can clarify on this matter.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rafiq. Excellent questions and great context, historical context. Julie, feel free to weigh in or respond if you have a response, or if anybody else would like to get in the queue, just let me know.
Thank you for your question, Rafiq. This might be a helpful slide, another one we had in here. So, for the most part, when the original drafting team worked with staff, the intent was to identify the changes that needed to happen to the operating procedures, and those were identified. To the extent that was possible, we identified them and had them made, so they're reflected. And this is just a summary of what they were. There were some that didn't require changes. There were the new voting thresholds we mentioned. There was a change in the consent agenda wording. There's changes with respect to these last three are ones that we have identified that may result in changes that relate to guidelines. So in answer to your question, it's possible that in developing guidelines, we may find that there may be subsequent changes that need to be made to the operating procedures. For the most part, we've tried to err on the side of guidelines that could be incorporated, more as like an annex or something like that. But with this respect to the second part of the linkage, it's true that when the GNSO Review Working Group was constituted, its charter, which this still exists in its charter, it was also given the task of reviewing any changes to the GNSO operating procedures. So it was then given the role that had belonged to the Standing Committee on Improvements Implementation. That still stands in its charter, and actually that's an action item also for the new council to consider whether or not that is where we want to retain that task. And again, yes, someone would then be involved in some oversight of changes to the operating procedures.
Okay, thanks very much, Julie. Rafiq, back to you.
Okay, thanks, Julie. That's really helpful. So if we try to have the GNSO review working group, I think the only limitation is that it will be disbanded when the final report of the review will be approved. So we may use that, but it will be, I guess, short time. So we need to think maybe more about what is sustainable approach here. So as we did like before, that there was a drafting team. If we want to use that, I think we need to renew the membership. Probably it included people from the council, but also outside, from appointed by the stakeholder group and constituencies. So we can maybe list those different structures, those existing or those we can renew to some extent and see what's the best option. But I think we need something that's more sustainable I don't think there is expectation with the PDP 3.0 to make any substantial change to the operating procedure, maybe to the working group guidelines, but we need something, a structure that can handle that in the long term and we not just an ad hoc basis.
Thanks very much, Rafiq. That's excellent points. So it sounds like the council needs to take an action item and work with staff to look to reviewing the current status of the drafting team, the working group, and then identify a path forward. Julie, is there anything further or any other recommendations or suggestions that you'd like to make?
Yes, thank you very much, Keith, and also Rafiq, again, for your further points. We certainly could, one approach is to look at the drafting team and reconstitute it. I do know that it was, I think, mostly not council members, if I remember correctly. But in any case, it would be worthwhile, asking if any of those individuals would want to, you know, reconstitute themselves, but probably also do a request for volunteers for others, you know, or we can just do a brand new, you know, request for volunteers, given that it's probably been almost 2 years, I hate to say, but at least over a year since that that group completed its work. So, but it's entirely up to you. We have a lot of options.
Thanks, Julie. And yeah, if it's been 2 years since the group was last refreshed, we probably need to do a new call, and there's nothing to say that existing or previous members couldn't re-up, but I think that's the right path forward. So procedurally, what would the next step for council be in terms of taking that action?
I believe, and my colleagues can correct me if I'm wrong, that we can capture that as an action item to go ahead and do a call for volunteers and get that out. I would say probably as soon as we can, but maybe not immediately, since some people might be traveling, but within the next couple of weeks, let's say. And in the meantime, we do have the guidelines and templates all organized in a Google a doc kind of format that's mapped and so on. And you know, once the group is reconstituted, we can see what's the best tool for them to use to go through the documents. But we'll take that on as a first action to get the call for volunteers out. We'll add that to the action list, I think, for the council.
Okay, thanks, Julie. Any further discussion or concerns or objection to that course of action? Would anybody else like to weigh in? Okay, I don't see any hands. So I think, Julie, it would probably be helpful, particularly as we approach a call for volunteers, for the council to have the link to that Google Doc so we can actually review the templates ourselves to sort of familiarize ourselves with them. That would be great. So let's capture those two action items.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, back to the agenda. Any other business? So, as I noted, we need to take a... Oh, Erica, thank you.
Oh, you can go first. Not a problem. I want to brief you about something. I was a bit... I sent an email a little bit earlier to the previous chairs and vice chairs concerning an information I received this morning from Cherine and... And the board, so they're going to present a resolution tomorrow concerning the reserve fund. And the information was addressed to the my role as the co-chair of the auction proceeds. And I sent the information because I got a clarification from Shireen that he's fine with it, that I sent it to the auction proceeds, so there's no surprise. And I sent it as an information. I forwarded it to the chair and to the two co-chairs. So, in the meantime, and I was hesitant to send it to all of you just because of procedural reasons, because I'm a little bit concerned if the board is presenting a resolution tomorrow and we have a board group informed about what is going to happen with regard to one item. I was a little bit concerned about the procedure. In the meantime, Ching, who is my co-chair, sent it to the CCA NSO. So the information is spread already. Therefore, I will send it to you as well. I will forward it to you, and then I would ask you, in your role as chair, to forward it to the GNSO. So I'm a little bit in the background. I don't think so there's anything problematic or conflictual involved because the information is now spreading more than I was expecting it. But so if you agree, Keith, I will send it to you. You will be so kind to send it to the rest of the group. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Erica. Absolutely. Happy to do that. As soon as I receive it, I will forward it to the council list. I do have a question. And maybe it'll become more clear over the course of the next, you know, day or so. But was the communication from Shireen and the board sent to you in the form of a request? Was it in the form of basically providing, advising you that they are intending to essentially take money from the auction proceeds fund and put it in the reserve fund? I'm just wondering procedurally what... You know, where is the CCWG auction proceeds group, you know, involved, responsible for any sort of decision making, or is it essentially the decision has been made, provided the resolution is passed, and that's likely to happen? Thank you.
Yeah, the last point, Keith. So there's no formal role, there's no formal responsibility. So the auction proceed, we can't decide that the board can't do this. So there's no responsibility. And keep in mind as well, there was a public comment period about the reserve fund, a separate. And based on the information the board received, they made the judgment that they can move forward. And I believe that's correct. They can do this. It's just, I would say it's a good standard to have this exchange because it affects, of course, the auction proceed. And so we had always a good information channel open between the chairs and between Shireen and other involved board members. So this was standard practice because we wanted to avoid any kind of, you know, friction and difficulties we might experience in the future. So this was purely informational this morning, and I didn't go into any kind of further discussions neither. So that's the situation. And you will see in the note, Martin Butterblom, who is one of our the board member attached to the auction proceed group, he was present as well. So,
thank you very much, Erica. Great context. Michele, I see your card.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. God. Sorry, it's going to take a while to get used to not having somebody else over there. This movement, this planned move, we're not talking about coffee money here. I mean, this is a significant amount of money that's involved. The reserve fund was depleted during the IANA transition, and I personally had issues with how some of those funds funding decisions were made and kind of budgeting things and all that. I thought there was some parts of that did not sit too well. As far as I recall, both the registries and registrars did submit fairly robust commentary on the auction proceeds. And I believe, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, that we took this position that the auction proceeds funds should not be used for replenishing the reserves. Now, if somebody can correct me if I got that wrong, but that's just my own personal memory of this. Beg your pardon? I got it right. Thank you. So our position on this has not changed. From a pure kind of optics perspective, I mean, there was something that I think came out in a communication between the board and that working group a few weeks ago that basically said that, legally speaking, ICANN can do anything it wants to do with funds that have landed in its lap. However, if that is the case, why on earth has the community wasted an insane amount of time, resources, effort and everything else on an auction proceeds working group, held multiple cross-community sessions on it, how much time on this entire thing? If the board is then going to do an end run around that and is going to go, sure, we'll use that money to replenish the reserves. Now, legally, they may be entitled to do so, in much the same way that legally, if you look at the terms of service of any of those of us running businesses, we reserve the right to do many things. It doesn't mean it's a good thing to do it. Thank you.
Thanks, Michele. I think very reasonable questions. So I have Paul McGrady next, and then Erica again. Anyone else want to get in queue, let me know.
Thanks, Paul McGrady, for the record. And I can't find it quickly enough in the applicant guidebook, but I think that there's a real concern about this, because I'm sure that the board has looked into it and has made a decision that they can legally do this, but there is no doubt in my mind that anybody reading that applicant guidebook and participating in an auction of last resort believed that the silver lining in that cloud of having to pay was that something good would come of the money. And, replenishing the reserve fund because of the IANA transition, which, by the way, not everybody was all excited about, isn't the kind of good that I think was implied in the applicant guidebook. And so I just would like to register my grumpiness at this, and I think it is short-sighted, and I think that fiscal responsibility and belt-tightening to replenish that reserve fund is a much better way to go rather than having to go back to the people who had to participate in these auctions, which, by the way, were, the entire mechanism is not necessarily the best mechanism, but to have to go back and tell them, surprise, this is not going to be spent on something good. It's just simply going to be taken. That's not going to be a pleasant thing. So anyways, that's all registering grumpiness. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Erica?
I mean, I really hope we would not have this discussion right now before we have the resolution, which is a little bit unfortunate. And I was hoping we could handle this in a different way. I believe, Keith, we have to come back to this point, and we need to have a very informed discussion about many aspects, and some of them were just mentioned a few minutes ago, but they don't relate to my role as co-chair. As my co-chair, I have to be neutral. It's not my role to comment about this because we don't have no formal responsibility to decide about the total amount of the available fund. We looked into this, so I want to be clear about this. But I believe you have to keep in mind the recommendation will be to use 36 million from the total amount. Now, there's still, and again, I don't want to go into the details. What is the total amount? Does it include the .web or not, for example? But again, Keith, I really recommend we have a debate after the resolution tomorrow and not today about the details. So keep this in mind. Whatever the outcome is going to be, there's still a substantial amount left in the auction proceeds which can be used really for good projects and for the intended projects which we had in mind, and in particular the community had in mind. So it's not like the complete replenishment for the reserve fund will be taken from the auction proceeds. It's practically the IANA portion. When you read the comment, the way the board and I can all presented it during the comment period, it's practically the IANA portion, which is taken from the auction proceeds.
Thanks, Erica. And to your point about the amounts, I'll just make two points and then come to Tony. The email that I saw was it was $36 million from the auction proceeds and $32 million over the course of 8 years. From ICANN.org combined to replenish the reserve fund up to the point of, I think it was the 12-month figure, if I'm not mistaken. So that's what we're talking about here, is that's what's in the resolution that's being put to the board tomorrow. So, and Erica, I take your point very well that, I think there's still meaningful work for the CCWG on auction proceeds because there's still a substantial amount of money remaining. To Michaeli's point, I think it does raise some questions about the future and how ICANN board may look at those funds, and I think it raises some very legitimate questions about sort of what comes next. Is this a one-time thing only ever, or is there, does this become a trend? So I think those are concerns. But to Erica's point, I think the CCWG on auction proceeds still has very important work ahead of it.
But that's why I said we need to have a debate about this after the resolution, exactly the last points you mentioned, and I totally agree. But I don't believe it's valuable to talk about it today. But okay. That's just my...
Thanks, Erica. So with that, Tony, you're next.
Yes, I participated quite extensively in this working group until recently. My work was taken over by Marilyn Gate. You just took the question away from me, Keith, which is what comes next, because this program probably won't actually become effective in assigning funds until sometime next year because of the work that lies ahead. And for the next fiscal year, if money is lacking, I mean, where would they look for it? That's my question.
Yeah. Thanks, Tony. Great question. So to Erica's point, we probably need to put a line under this one. Now everybody is aware. I am, as we speak, forwarding the email from Erica to the list, so you can take a look at that. We can have further conversation about this during our wrap-up session tomorrow if we'd like. So, Michele, go ahead, and then let's move on to any other business.
Thanks, Keith. As chair, I would ask you to please put that as an item on the agenda for our session tomorrow, if you could, please. I think this is something that many of us feel very strongly about. Paul McGrady and I actually agree for once, which is rare, even though we agree for totally different reasons.
Thanks, Michele. And reacting to something that Paul said, people expected when they were contributing these funds through an auction of last resort that they expected it to be used for good things, right? And I think there would be an argument for the fact that, you know, a stable and financially stable and secure ICANN with the reserve fund is also a good thing. But I think this is something that we should absolutely consider, talk to our colleagues and our various stakeholder groups and constituencies, and then come back and have a further conversation about this tomorrow during the wrap-up session. So we'll take an action item to put this on the agenda for tomorrow. So, okay, does anybody else have any other business? Anything else you want to talk about? Okay, staff, is there anything that you would like to share with us? Any thoughts or guidance or suggestions? Help! All right. Yeah, Michele, go ahead.
I'm sorry, it's Michele again for the record. Just with respect to the selection appointment of the vice chairs, do we have a fixed timeline on that? I mean, from the registrars and registry side, we already know who we want to put forward. But is there a timeline around that? And the reason I'm asking is because it's particularly in light of some of the issues that were brought to the microphone earlier today. I think, you know, the council leadership needs to be fully formed as quickly as possible. Thanks.
Agreed. Thanks, Michele. Good question. And I don't think there's a hard and fast deadline at the council level, you know, in the bylaws or in our operating procedures. So I would just encourage, folks to try to make your decisions quickly. And let me just take a moment and speak personally and say that I think from a leadership team perspective and the fact that we have just lost a significant amount of experience and years of service on the leadership team, I would very much welcome Rafiq if he were able to continue. But that's obviously a decision for the non-contracted party house to make. So, Graham, go ahead.
Thank you. This is Graham Bunton, chair of the Registrar Stakeholder Group. I think under council bylaws, the vice chair from the CPH needs to come from not the same SG as you, and so it is coming from my stakeholder group, and we know who that is, and I just need to talk with Donna, and then I think we send that message to the council, hopefully in the next day or two, maybe even this afternoon. So it should be very shortly.
Excellent. Thanks, Graham. Okay. Any other thoughts, any other business before we conclude our meeting today? Thank you all very much once again for the trust and the faith that you have put in me for the next year. I won't let you down. So with that, let's conclude the meeting and have a great rest of ICANN 63. Thank you.